The first reading is taken from 2 Samuel chapter 7, reading verses 8 to 13, and in the Church Bibles it can be found on page 259. 2 Samuel chapter 7, beginning to read at verse 8. Now therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, that you should be prince over my people Israel. And I have been with you wherever you went, and have cut off all your enemies from before you. And I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, so that they may dwell in their own place and be disturbed no more. And violent men shall afflict them no more as formerly, from the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel. And I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. If you've got your Bible with you, it'd be good if you could turn to Luke chapter 2, please. Luke chapter 2, one of the most familiar passages of Scripture. It's lent itself to songs and to carols and to cards and celebrations. So you're no doubt familiar with this passage already, but let's turn to Luke's Gospel in chapter 2. And I'll begin reading from verse 8. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. This is the word of the Lord. Let's bow our heads to pray. Father, I thank you for this opportunity that we have to meet together this morning. I thank you for the great truths that are contained in these songs that we've sung. And Father, as we turn to your word, we give you thanks for the scriptures. I thank you for the great privilege that it is to preach from your word. And I pray that you might help me to speak clearly. I pray that you might speak through me this morning. Father, I pray that we might be challenged and yet encouraged at the same time from your word. And I pray that through the preaching of your word, it would be the Lord Jesus who would be exalted and that you would receive all the glory. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. So Collins English Dictionary has announced its Word of the Year for 2017. And it is fake news. Well, I've got news for Collins Dictionary. But fake news is in fact two words. But that hasn't stopped them from naming it as their Word of the Year. And of course, the President of the United States, Donald Trump, he believes that he coined this phrase, fake news, which is surely an example of fake news in itself. So fake news may well be the hot topic of 2017, but I don't want to talk to you this morning about fake news. I want to talk to you this morning about good news. Good news of great joy. We see that in our passage this morning. Luke tells us that the angel of the Lord visited the shepherds and he brought good news. Good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Now, the very first thing that we have to notice from our passage this morning is who receives the good news. Who receives the good news? It's the most unlikely group that you could imagine. You know, if you were working in marketing and you had to design some sort of campaign to share this good news, you would want to go straight to the top. You would want to go to influential people. So you might choose to go to Caesar Augustus or King Herod or the chief priests or the Pharisees. But you certainly wouldn't choose to go to the shepherds. Because these guys were considered to be the lowest of the low. Now, don't get me wrong, there were some very famous characters in the Bible who were shepherds. Abraham was a shepherd at one point. Moses was a shepherd at one point. David was himself a shepherd. In fact, 1,000 years before Jesus was born, David was watching sheep in this area, maybe even in the same field as these shepherds that we've read about this morning. And of course, Jesus was happy to refer to himself as the good, what? Shepherd. And so being a shepherd wasn't a shameful profession, but it was a lowly profession. It was a humble profession. Shepherds were unskilled. They were uneducated. They did the sort of work that you could give a child to do. And so because of this, they really were the lowest of the low on the social ladder. They were looked down upon. They were outcasts. And yet this is who God chooses to reveal his good news to. And is that not just a wonderful picture of God's saving plan? That he would send his Son to save the lost, to save the weak, to save the lowly, to save the humble, to save the outcast. And so the angel of the Lord appears to the lowly shepherds. And how do the shepherds respond? Well, they're terrified. They're terrified, and you can understand that, can't you? The angel of the Lord visits them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around just while they were out doing what they would usually do, minding their own business, doing their usual job, and there's this great scene. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they're terrified. And you know, that's exactly how everyone responds in the Bible when God shows up. When Isaiah the prophet saw God, he was terrified and he thought he was going to die. When Ezekiel the prophet saw God, he fell with his face to the ground. In a similar fashion, when the apostle John saw a vision of Jesus in Revelation 1, he fell to the ground as though he was dead. Then you remember the story of the disciples in the boat with Jesus. We're told that they were afraid of the storm. That was until Jesus spoke to the storm and told it to be calm. Then the gospel writers tell us that the disciples were exceedingly afraid. They were afraid of the storm, but they were exceedingly afraid to know that they were in the boat with God himself. And so it should be no surprise to us that the shepherds are afraid here, that the shepherds are terrified. But the angel says to them, "Fear not. Fear not." Why? "For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." That's the reason that the shepherds are not to be afraid. Because the angel brings them good news. So what then is this good news? Well, first of all, this little baby boy who is born is God himself. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. He is the Lord, as we read in verse 11. He is the Lord. That is good news. Do you know, some of you may remember this. It was back in 1961 that the Russians put the first man in space. And he orbited the Earth once, and his name was Yuri Gagarin. And the Prime Minister of the Soviet Union at the time, he held a press conference and he says, "We have been out into space and we didn't see God." But C.S. Lewis, the great Christian writer who was still alive at the time, he wrote an article in response to that comment. And in his article he said, "If there is a God who created us, you couldn't find him by going up into space. God would not relate to human beings the way a man on the second floor relates to a man on the first." Because you see, if that was the case, then if the man on the first floor wanted to get to know God, then all he would have to do would simply be to go up onto the second floor. But no, C.S. Lewis says, God relates to us the way that Shakespeare relates to Hamlet. God relates to us the way that Shakespeare relates to Hamlet, because you see, Shakespeare is the author. He is the creator, and he created Hamlet, and he created Hamlet's entire world. And so if Hamlet and the other characters wanted to get to know Shakespeare, then it could only be if Shakespeare chose to write himself into the story. Hamlet couldn't get to know Shakespeare simply by just going up into the rafters of the Globe Theatre. No, Shakespeare would have to write something of himself into the story. And so C.S. Lewis says, we're not going to know God by going up into outer space. We can only know God if God chooses to reveal himself to us. And you know, the Christmas story tells us that God did exactly that. He wrote himself into the real world in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. This boy who is born is God. He is Emmanuel, God with us. This is good news. And secondly, this baby boy is the Christ. He is the King. And that's certainly good news. That's worthy of a front page headline, isn't it? The King is born. And that's something that we in this country are not altogether unfamiliar with. We're not unfamiliar with that kind of news. Back in 1948, in 1982, most recently in 2013, in each of these years, a boy was born who would be king. Prince Charles, Prince William, and Prince George. It is their purpose to be king. The difference, of course, is that for each of these individuals, someone has to die in order for them to be king. And what's so extraordinary about this news that we've read about this morning is that this boy who is born He is the King. He is the Christ. He doesn't need to wait for someone to die. He is the King. But he is the King who is born to die. It was his great purpose to die. And that's why the angel is able to announce, "Today your Saviour is born." Because this King, who is God himself, died to save us from the punishment that our sins deserve. This is good news of great joy, and it is for all. So how then should we respond to this news? How should we respond to this good news? Well, the first thing that I think you have to notice from this passage is the ordinary way in which the news comes to us. For most of us, we will hear this good news in a very ordinary way. We've noted that the shepherds got an angel. But I wonder if you noticed that everyone else in the story simply got a shepherd. The shepherds got an angel. The angel showed up, and as we read, the glory of the Lord shone all around them. And you've got to think that that must have been an amazing sight to behold. And the angel gave them the good news. And I reckon it must have been almost impossible for those shepherds to ignore the angel. But when everyone else is told the good news a little bit later in the story, they just hear it from the shepherds. And really, that's true of the whole Bible. The Bible was written by people like Moses and Isaiah and Peter and Paul. And they had revelations and they had great visions and they were inspired and they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And it must have been pretty easy for them to pay attention. But you know, the rest of us, we just receive the Word of God in a book. And sometimes it can be difficult to pay attention. I mean, how many of you had great ambitions on the 1st of January? To read through the whole Bible in a year. Most of the time that fizzles out sometime in February when you get to Leviticus. It can be very difficult to pay attention. But that's why I love this verse about Mary. In verse 19, the shepherds tell everyone about what they've heard. And at that point we're told that Mary treasured up all of these things, pondering them in her heart. You might remember that Mary had her own special visit from an angel, the angel Gabriel, in the previous chapter, in chapter 1. But when the shepherds turn up here and they tell everyone the good news, Mary doesn't say, "Well, you know, I don't need to listen to these shepherds. I've had my own special message direct from the angel." No, she did listen to the angel, but she also listened to the shepherds as well, and she pondered these things, and she treasured them. And you know, that's more of an attitude than it is a technique. Some of you might be here this morning, and you might be thinking, "Well, do you know, I might be tempted to believe these things in the Bible if only God would give me a sign. You know, I reckon I would believe this message as well if God was to give me a message from an angel." Well, most of us just get a shepherd. God chooses to use ordinary people, unintelligent people, to bring you the good news. You have to choose to ponder these things. You have to choose to treasure them in your heart. The second thing that we have to do in response to this good news is make peace. We have to make peace. The angels praised God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, And on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. You know, one of the great benefits of receiving God's grace is that we have peace with God. We have peace with God. If you were to read through the New Testament, one of the things that you'll come to realize is that before we become Christians, we're actually at war with God. Now, I don't think that anyone actually believes that. You might say that you don't believe in God. Maybe you've not really got much of an opinion about God. But I don't think you'd hear many people say, yeah, I'm at war with God. And yet the Apostle Paul says in Romans that we are naturally enemies of God. We are hostile to God. We hate God. And our hearts are at war with God. You see, someone who isn't a Christian, someone who isn't religious at all, they've essentially rejected God. And they're making a choice to live the way that they want to live. They think that they know what it means to be fulfilled. They think they know what's best for them. They want their independence from God. But then on the other hand, you have religious people. And actually, they can live in a sort of independence from God as well. Because they might follow the Ten Commandments, and they might pray, and they might try to live a good life, but they do it in such a way that they think, right, okay, now, hopefully you're pleased with me, God. Now, hopefully you're going to bless me. They're trying to earn God's favor. And in both of these cases, there's no relationship with God. In both of these cases, there's no dependence on God. In both of these cases, there's a distance from God there. There is a hostility towards God. Now, there's nothing special about a Christian. But a Christian recognizes that hostility. And a Christian recognizes that they're not going to get anywhere by their own efforts. And so a Christian says, if I'm going to be saved, then I need to be saved by grace. And when you recognize that, and when you turn away from the life that you have been living, and when you rest in all that Jesus has done for you, you make peace. You make peace with God. Treasure these things in your heart. Make peace with God. And finally, fear not. Do not be afraid. We've thought about how the angel of the Lord showed up and the angels were terrified. Coming face to face with God is a terrifying thing for a sinner. And we actually see that all the way back in the Garden of Eden. Before the fall, Adam and Eve, they had a perfect relationship with God. And they were able to enjoy communion with God because they hadn't yet sinned. But Satan comes along to them and he says, you know, you'd be better following the desires of your own heart. God doesn't know what's best for you. He doesn't want what's best for you. Only you can know what's best for you. And so Adam and Eve choose to reject God. They choose to follow their own desires. And the first time that God shows up, what happens? They hide. They're afraid. And you know, that's really been true for every generation since. We've all rejected God. We've all chosen to go our own way. We've all chosen to follow our own desires. And if we're honest, it leads to us being afraid. We're afraid about all sorts of things. We're worried about what people think of us. We're scared of rejection. We're worried about our circumstances, our health, our relationships, our job security. We're worried about the future of the Church of England, the future of our country, the world in which our children are going to grow up in. And if we're honest, we're scared about death. But you know, there's only one thing that's more terrifying than all of these things, and that would be coming face to face with God and facing the judgment that our sins deserve. But remember, there's good news. And the good news is that the message that the angel brought to the shepherds is still true for us today. A Saviour has been born. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And so there's no need to be afraid. There's no need to be afraid of other people. There's no need to be afraid of rejection. There's no need to be afraid of your circumstances. There's no need to be afraid of your future. And there's no need to be afraid of death if you're trusting in God. Ponder these things. Treasure them in your heart. Make peace with God and do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy. A Saviour is born, who is Christ the Lord. Amen.